This is The Guardian.
Hi, Laura Mafiotes here. Before we kick off Full Story for 2022, we're revisiting our favourite episodes from the past year. Today, in an episode that originally aired in September last year, we chart wheelchair racer Madison Di Rosario's rise to fame and Paralympic glory. I think you'll really enjoy listening to Madison, as she's not just an incredible athlete, but she's also a passionate advocate who has a lot to say about what true equality looks like in sport. Madison Di Rosario, a 27-year-old Paralympic athlete and wheelchair racer, took home three of Australia's 80 medals overall at the 2020 Tokyo Paralympic Games.
I felt just support and belief from myself and my team, and genuinely felt happy and proud.
Her success at Tokyo has proved her to be a mainstay in Australia's Paralympic team and in wheelchair racing history. But alongside Olympic success, Madison and other disability advocates are calling for an end to the significant structural inequalities that remain for para-athletes.
We want someone's disability to be the least interesting thing about them.
Today, Madison Di Rosario on her path to gold and the future of the Paralympics. It's Wednesday, the 22nd of September.
G'day, Madison. How you going?
Hey, good. Sorry for keeping you waiting.
No worries at all. I'm Kieran from The Guardian. Nice to meet you.
You too.
Kieran Pender is a freelance writer.
Welcome back.
Thank you.
How's it feel to be back home, but in home quarantine?
Oh, it's so nice being back home. Games is always such an emotional roller coaster.
Okay, Kieran, can you tell me a little bit about Madison Di Rosario? Who is she and what do we need to know about her?
Madison's 27-year-old from Perth. She's known as one of the best wheelchair racers in the world. Madison has a particular fondness for the 800 metres, but she also competes in the 1500 metres, the 5000 metres and marathons.
Mm.
And she's one of the next generation of top Australian para-athletes. Her dad is from Singapore, her mum's Australian, and she has a Portuguese heritage. Madison was four when she developed a rare autoimmune disease after suffering from a bout of the flu. That disease was called transverse myelitis, and it left her paraplegic.
I was lucky. My parents did a lot of work to actively do this, where it is a social shift that needs to happen where we can't view disability as a positive or a negative, right? Because it's neither of those things, it's just circumstances. And I got to be the beneficiary of that.
She has spoken to me about how her family really focused on an atmosphere in the home of positivity, that her disability wasn't a negative thing, it was just a neutral fact.
That is definitely how I grew up, and it's something that I hope for every kid with a disability on a much larger scale. And we can't just demand that of parents. That needs to be all of society that kind of starts to view disability as simply neutral.
Tell me about how she first got into sport as a kid.
I got into it when I was about 12.
Madison's family were sports mad.
And I have two sisters, and so we always just played sport with each other, like whatever that looked like.
Her sisters played a lot of football, so she did as well. She was often the goalkeeper in her wheelchair on the football pitch.
And around about 12, those differences become a little bit more apparent, and so I started trying different things. I'm from WA, so wheelchair basketball is the big Paralympic sport that we all do. And that was the first one I tried. And I'm terrible. I'm so incredibly uncoordinated.
She did that once and her coach said to her, "You're really bad at this, but why don't we try something else?"
And he had a racing chair in the storeroom of the basketball stadium.
And she gave that a go, and she said she's been in love with wheelchair racing ever since.
I love the independence. I love that what you put in is what you got back out immediately. There was something about that I found really appealing. But yeah, no, loved it, and yeah, stuck with it ever since.
And she told me that wheelchair racing and sport gave her this power, this independence, this sense of control.
The minute you have a disability, you kind of lose an amount of autonomy. A lot of it comes from autonomy of voice. You're kind of told how to view your physical self now, and it's not positive. And so we very much internalize that. Like, I had to kind of go through my teenage years as a girl, which is hard enough. As a girl with a disability is infinitely harder. And so I started to build up this resentment for my body, because as a girl, you're trying to fit this already impossible mold. And as a girl with a disability, it just felt so incredibly impossible. There was nothing I could do that would move me towards what I thought the standard being set for me was, that I was internally also setting for myself. Sport kind of helps you reclaim that autonomy. You have to have this love and respect for your body through sport. And so if you want anything from sport, you have to give it that. You have to give yourself that. And so you kind of reclaim your own identity and your autonomy of your body, which is a hard thing to do.
So what happened from there with her wheelchair racing career?
Well, I think it's fair to say that Madison was a bit of a prodigy. She started racing at 12 and barely 2 years later, she was added into the Australian Paralympic squad for the 2008 Games in Beijing. One of her teammates had fallen pregnant and had to withdraw from the wheelchair relay, the 4x100 meters. And so that opened up a slot for Madison to make her debut. A really remarkable Paralympic debut for someone at just the age of 14.
I know that there are some quite young gymnasts, you know, and kind of divers, but 14 seems really young for the athletics. Is that common at all?
Not common at all. This was a really remarkable feat for someone to be making a debut so young on such a grand stage.
And what happened?
Well, they won a silver medal. It wasn't really expected. They weren't highly fancied, but they put in a remarkable performance, and she, you know, went home back to high school carrying a silver medal around her neck.
Okay, so what happened after Beijing?
From Beijing, I think it's fair to say that Madison's had a bit of a bumpy ride towards this wheelchair racing fame that she now has. After 2008, she sort of set her sights on London 2012, but she failed to secure a medal there. She finished fourth in that 800 metres, which is her preferred discipline, and a discipline that she was really hoping to podium. Madison is coached by a really iconic Paralympic wheelchair legend, Louise Sauvage, who's won pretty much everything in this sport. And on one hand, she wanted to replicate that success, but on the other hand, she wasn't really sure, you know, what her future would look like, what she wanted.
And it was Lou who we kind of took a really big step back and worked out who I needed to be as a person first and what that looked like as an athlete and how I could find success.
But she told me that in hindsight, she was thankful it was a low point.
I could then kind of use it as, you know, a step to kind of become who I wanted to be as an athlete. And yeah, I'm not quite as resentful of those games anymore.
And what happened from there?
Madison went to the World Championships in Doha in 2015 and she won. That really, you know, crowned her rise to the top of wheelchair athletics. And so less than a year later, when she headed to the Rio Paralympics, it was expected that she would win. And this would, you know, really cap off a remarkable ascent from a young teenager in Beijing to London and now to Rio. This was her moment. Until it wasn't. China's Hu Zhongzhao broke the world record in beating Madison in the 800 metres. And she told me that was a really devastating moment, and even another silver medal in the relay was little consolation.
So coming into the Tokyo 2020-2021 Paralympics, where was her career at? What kind of expectations were on her?
Madison had become a real face of Paralympic sport in Australia. So coming into the Tokyo Paralympics, Madison had won a slate of medals across her career to date. She was a three-time world champion. And then off the track, she'd garnered real fame. She was Cosmopolitan's Sportswoman of the Year. She was Athletics Australia Female Para-Athlete of the Year. And she was even made into a Barbie doll. But She'd never won gold at the Paralympics. You know, she'd won everything else, but that gold medal on the grandest stage still eluded her. And then to make it even worse, she had to wait. You know, these games were supposed to go ahead in the middle of 2020 and then COVID came along. And so for so long, it wasn't clear if she'd ever get the opportunity to win that elusive gold medal in Tokyo.
So the Paralympics roll around, you're covering them. How did Madison perform across her various racing events?
So her Paralympics began with the 5,000 metre race. And, you know, she came into that with high hopes. She'd won that event at a World Championships before. At the most recent World Championship, she was the silver medalist. But she finished in fifth, you know, really not the start she was hoping for. And then she had only 36 hours to recover for her pet event, the 800 metres that for so long success had eluded her in.
Tell me about that race.
She just put in the perfect performance. It was tactically clever. It was physically dominant. She broke the Paralympic record to win gold.
Wow.
5 years after that silver medal in Rio, finally in Tokyo, she won.
I think there was a part of me that has known for the last 5 years that I'm capable of doing that, of winning a Paralympic gold medal. And my performance team very much believed that as well. But I hadn't done it. I couldn't say that I was that person yet.
What was this like for her, winning gold in her favourite event after so long?
Well, I think Madison told me two things that I thought were really interesting. One, that of course it was a huge weight being lifted off her.
But it's kind of like this itch, right, where you know you can do it, but I couldn't prove it. I had no opportunities to go out and do it. I just had to sit for 5 years thinking but not knowing that I could be that person.
But the other thing she said to me was that when she crossed the line, for the first time in her career, a very lengthy career already, she was happy.
Normally when you cross the finish line first, there is this feeling you're expecting it's going to be, you know, happy and all this joy and pride. And instead what you normally feel is just relief.
And she was expecting to feel happy, but it was always just relief.
I've talked about this to my psych before, and she's basically said that's when you have so much expectation on yourself that you don't get to enjoy that moment. And to reframe it as belief in yourself and belief that your team has in you. And her kind of framing of it was that you deserve to feel happy about this moment, because if you've put, you know, work since 2008 into making this happen, it's been a long road to get here. And I kind of went in with that, which I've never done before. And to cross that line first was the first time I crossed the finish line and not just felt that relief. I genuinely felt happy and proud that it all had come together. And so that made that one of the most amazing races.
And so she crossed the line and she just felt joy.
Despite winning gold, she still had multiple events after this. How did she go?
So then she won bronze in the 1500 metres. And then about a week later, she was back in action for the marathon on the final day of the Paralympics. Madison's a really noted marathon athlete. She's won marathons all around the world. And so, you know, all went into this way to end the games, a really, you know, grueling 42-kilometre race around Tokyo. And it really all came down to the last 100 metres. Absolutely remarkable race. You know, I was watching on television, and she went into the stadium for the final lap around Tokyo National Stadium in first.
Going down into the stadium, I took one last look back behind me, and she was definitely catching me on that downhill.
But Manuela Schaar from Switzerland was closing fast on her. At one point, there was just a wheelchair's length between them.
And that was the longest 500 metres lap and a quarter of that track of my career. And I could hear the commentary in the stadium. When I came in, it was like, you know, Di Rosario has a bit of a gap. And then, you know, maybe with 300 to go, Schaar is closing this gap. And then I could hear the Australians in the stadium just screaming at me, telling me she was closing the gap.
To be honest, it looked in the final 100 metres, you know, that iconic last 100 metre stretch after such a grueling marathon, it looked as if Schaar had her. And then
sometimes you kind of just kind of hand the reins over to your body. You're like, you know how to do this, just do everything. And thankfully I was able to, my body was able to just kind of get me over that line, just a bit ahead of Manuela's.
Madison just found a burst of strength and propelled herself to that gold medal, her second gold of Tokyo 2020, and becoming the first ever Australian woman to win a Paralympic marathon.
Sounds like there's a few different moments of history being made. I mean, can we sum up her achievements here, not just in the marathon, but in the other events?
Yeah, so really, I mean, Tokyo 2020 was just an amazing performance from Madison. She broke two Paralympic records. She won two gold medals. She won another bronze medal. I think for her, it just felt like this relief, this weight of expectation was lifted. Ever since 2008, great things that had been expected of Madison, and she had achieved some incredible things, but that gold medal at a Paralympic Games had eluded her until now.
Now that she's got it, is that the end for her? Or, you know, she's only 27. I imagine this is only a small part of her career to come.
She told me very firmly that she's not going anywhere.
I will definitely be staying on. There is a part of me that is kind of planning my career with 2032 as a home games.
Oh, wow.
As the end of it. I am not going anywhere.
She talked about what it meant. The Brisbane bid was a joint Olympic-Paralympic bid. So often the Olympics are the bid and then the Paralympics are sort of tacked on to that, whereas this was for the first time that Brisbane had really firmly included both the Olympics and the Paralympics in their plans. And she talked about how proud that made her, that that was the bid from her home country. And to be honest, she's already planning the next thing. I spoke to her. She was in a home quarantine, one of the Australian Paralympians who was able to trial the home quarantine process. And she said that she was already looking at flights back overseas. There's some races in Europe she wants to compete in the next few weeks. So she was hoping already to be on the next plane off to that next race. Clearly not one to sit still.
Next, the push for systemic change in Australian sport.
Mr. Speaker, we have won 60 medals so far, and recognising the national significance of the Paralympic team, I'm very pleased to announce that the government will provide additional support to Paralympics Australia to ensure our Paralympic medalists will receive equivalent payments to our Olympic medalists, Mr. Speaker.
So, Kieran, a few weeks ago, Prime Minister Scott Morrison announced that Paralympians would get the same cash prizes that Olympians receive when they win a medal.
And we are so, so proud of our team. They have shown discipline, focus, determination, dogged persistence, a great sense of humour, Mr. Speaker, a great sense of the Australian spirit on display. We have witnessed the essence of what sport is all about, being the best you possibly can be. 60 medals, including 13 gold so far. Mr. Speaker, these are Australia's newest gold medalists, a Madison de Rosario, gold in the 800 metres, 253, James...
What did Madison think of these payments?
Madison was grateful, although she joked to me that she hadn't decided how she would spend the bonus yet. But she said that we need systemic change in sport.
Sport is a bit of a boys' club sometimes, and it's definitely very much gatekept. And I think, you know, it needs all those voices to kind of change that. I think sport has such an impact on communities on a global level, but definitely in Australia, that if we can make sport a more genuine representation of our communities, the impact is going to be huge. And that's definitely something that's incredibly important to me. So I feel like I tick quite a few minority boxes. I'm obviously a woman of colour with a disability. So it's not, I'm definitely not someone who exists in a world that's designed for her necessarily. There's a few different things going on there. But I do feel that, you know, the women in sport movement, the Paralympic sport movement and the movement for people of colour, it's all the same movement, right? With different words and different specifics to it. Like a lot of the language that I've drawn to talk about disability, I've drawn from the feminist movement because it's the same. It's this discomfort that we have of something outside of what we have decided is the norm. And it's existing in a world that is not designed for myself. It's designed by, you know, straight, white, able-bodied, cis men for people that look like them, right? And the further you are from that mold, the more concessions you feel like you have to make.
But the onus for change shouldn't just lie on people with disabilities and their allies, but on everyone. And that needs to be reflected in all different areas where, unfortunately, traditionally, people have been marginalised in sport.
Are there tangible ways that people can support para-athletes like Madison?
I think what the Australian people need to do is really get behind these amazing athletes, these incredible sports. And that needs to then become a year-round thing, not just a every four-year thing.
Mm.
I think, you know, Paralympics and the parasport movement provide a great way to try and address some of these structural inequalities, some of this discrimination against disabled people in our society. But that's just one step. We've got to make sure we continue moving in the right direction.
A person with a disability is capable of anything and everything that they choose to do. And we need our 20% of Australians, 15% globally, of people with disabilities to see that. And then you need the other 85% to also see that. Pathways aren't created by the minority, right? They're created by the majority. But Paralympics, because its profile, because its platform, has the ability to change those perceptions and create a space where we can make a more accessible world.
That's it for today. Thanks to Paralympic athlete and wheelchair racer Madison Di Rosario and Guardian reporter Kieran Pender for their time. Since this episode aired, we've seen Madison Di Rosario's success continue to grow. In November last year, she won the New York City Marathon women's wheelchair title and was awarded Female Athlete of the Year by the New South Wales Office for Sport. This episode was produced by Joe Koning, Beth Atkinson-Quinton, Jane Ling, and Karishma Luthria, who also did the sound design. Additional production on our whole Best Of series was by Beth Atkinson-Quinton. The executive producers of Full Story are Miles Muttignoni, Gabrielle Jackson, and me, Laura Murphy-Oates. If you liked this episode, don't forget to leave a rating or a review. Okay, catch you tomorrow.